Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the August issue, where we'll cover back-to-school tips and strategies, college and alternative schools for your child with ADHD, apps and assistive technology, pros and cons, and lifelong education. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I am your guest host, Caroline McGuire, and we have a great show for you tonight. Our title is ADHD Kids Failing Forward at the School of Hard Knocks. And with us in our virtual studio is Elaine Taylor Klaus. Tonight is September 9th in the year 2015, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern. Before we get into the meat of our show, a few announcements. It's not too early to start planning for the CHAD conference. This year it's in November 12th through the 14th in New Orleans, Louisiana. Woo-hoo. To learn more, go to chad.org. It should be fun. We're going. Also, wanted to say that the EDGE Foundation is announcing a new training program called Behind the Wheel with ADHD, developed by Gail Sweeney and Ann Shanahan. ADHD teens are 2 to 4 times more likely to have traffic accidents, 3 times as likely to have injuries, 4 times as likely to be at fault, and 6 to 8 times more likely to have their licenses suspended. If you have an ADHD teen learning to drive, go to edgefoundation.org/parents/webinars to learn more. Boy, I have some people I can send them. And Dr. Barkley has asked me to remind you to check out ADHDfund.com, a crowdsourcing website designed to raise money for small-scale research for ADHD worldwide. I think that's the end of our announcements. So let's get into the meat of the show. And again, with us in our virtual studio is Elaine Taylor Klaus. Elaine, welcome to the show. This is really great to have Elaine. She is a healthcare advocate. She is an experienced parent of an ADHD family of 5, led by Elaine. She is a real voice for ADHD. She's the co-founder of ImpactADHD.com, a global support and training and coaching resource for parents with kids and ADHD. And if you haven't been to the website, it's wonderful. And Elaine is also doing some very cool work with the American Academy of Pediatrics in their effort to improve pediatric diagnosis and treatment for ADHD. And she is also on the national board for CHAD. And she also has a column in the Huffington Post, if you haven't checked it out. It's got great stuff in it. So, Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here, and you make me sound so good. Thanks.
You're welcome. It's always nice to give people's bio, and you find out things about people you didn't know, so I love it.
Or sometimes about what yourself that you don't remember.
Well, you wonder how you fit everything in for all the hours of the day. So
yeah.
I am thrilled to talk to you about this. You and I have chatted about this a little bit, and you have said some interesting things and written about this concept of letting young people fail forward. Do you want to tell me a little bit about this for the people in the audience sort of taking a deep breath and saying, oh, my gosh, what is she talking about?
Well, you know, it's funny. So the first thing I want to do is give proper kudos and props to the magnificent Jeff Copper, because I think Jeff and I had a conversation about this probably 7 years ago or something. When we first met long ago, we discovered we'd both done the same training program, and this is one of those early conversations we had where we knew we were simpatico, that we were on the same page. And I just love the language that he pulled of failing forward. So I have adopted it and used it. And over years, I think his copyright ran out, and I've used it ever since. His patent gave up on it. But the idea is that, and I guess the way I frame it is that to fail or to err, if you will, is human. And so we're all going to make mistakes and fail and mess up, and that's just part of what it means to be human. In fact, that's how our brain learns. And so failing forward is about embracing that and using that to move us forward in life and to grow and learn and improve, instead of seeing failure as this obstacle to avoid at all costs, which I think is what's been brainwashed into many of us, and to many, you know, from our parents, as parents, this idea that somehow failure is to be avoided at all costs just doesn't really make a lot of sense, you know?
Right. Well, I understand, but what about the parents who say, you know, once you fail, it's hard to come back? What's the benefit, I guess?
Well, so even before I hit benefit, can I hold me to coming back to that, because I think it's a great question, but I want to give a little context for it, which is a little bit more about the brain, right? So this show is all about paying attention to how we pay attention. And so what we're really talking about is, how does the brain learn? And if you think about it, we don't walk without babbling. We don't walk without falling. We don't talk without babbling, right?
Right.
The scientific method is all based on experimentation and seeing what works and what doesn't work to learn and move our knowledge base forward. So if it weren't for failure, we wouldn't proceed. We wouldn't progress. And so I think that's an important context, because this is about how the brain operates. And so yes, there's something to be said for getting it right, because we want to reinforce the positive. But sometimes we figure out what's right by getting it wrong first and then correcting, you know, course correction, if you will. And then you get it. It's like, okay, that's it. Now I feel what that feels like to get it right, because I know what it felt like to not be on target. So there's a real value to that almost experiential learning that comes with failure, right? So one of the benefits is actually improved success, improved outcomes, right? Is to be able to find something that works and to stick with it. And oftentimes you're going to do that by figuring out what doesn't work. You know, and we tend as humans to be really good at avoiding what we don't like or what doesn't work. But we got to know what doesn't work in order to figure out what does work sometimes.
So what I hear you saying, Elaine, is that, you know, first off, we have this pattern in learning where we stumble, we don't write correctly, we learn to write. We don't know how to say a sentence, we start by having this babbling. Monkey see, monkey do. But we also have this opportunity to feel one way when you're not succeeding and another way when you do succeed. Is that
right,
what I hear you saying?
Yeah, and when you do succeed, it sort of reinforces the ability to make something a habit, to make it repetitive, because you get that positive reinforcement from it. And I think that there's a lot to be said, particularly for people with ADD brains, that it's hard to make things into a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we do it experientially, it's more likely to stick. You know, you can just tell a kid to do something and it's gone. But if they engage kinesthetically with something in some way, and then they get it, they're more likely to stick with it. The other thing that comes up just as we're talking about it is the whole idea of perseverance and resilience, right? So one of the things that we see happen often with ADD kids, so ADD kids are marked very commonly by what we call low frustration tolerance, right? Does that sound familiar?
What does that mean?
That means kids get frustrated really easily. They're not as patient with frustration as their same age peers might be. And oftentimes that's because these are kids who tend to be bright and quick in some things, and they're accustomed to picking some things up quickly. And so when they encounter something that's harder for them or more difficult for them, they don't have as much patience for it because they want to be able to get it fast, right? They want to be able to keep moving with it. And so helping our kids learn to tolerate frustration is a huge part of learning to manage ADHD and manage their emotionality around the way the ADHD shows up for them. And I use the term ADD, ADHD interchangeably here. And this is probably true for kids not just with ADD but with anxiety, some with depression, with a whole range of other learning issues. So we're really talking about all kinds of complex kids here. And if we can help them see the positive or at least embrace the possibility that failure is not a crisis, then we can help them begin to have more patience for that frustration, for the inevitable frustrations of life, and to have more resilience when things don't go the way that they expect them to or they want them to first time. You know, they're not going to always hit it first time every time. They need to be able to try something a couple of times before they get it right, because that's life.
Right. Well, and what I love about what you're saying is this idea of the perseverance. So as we know, one of the unfortunate traits, and it's all about the setup in the brain and the payoff that we get for sustaining tasks, which is not the same as what a neurotypical would get, is this idea of perseverance, especially mm-hmm. over things we're not as easily to take to. And I wondered, Elaine, how does this relate? You know, parents talk to you and I a lot about this idea of mastery, right? This idea that kids need to persevere and practice the piano because they have a great ear, but they don't practice because it's boring, and then they never get to that level. So what I hear you talking about is this idea that if we can help have them, allow them to fail and sort of learn from these hard knocks, we might actually get this perseverance and then ultimately a sort of better self. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. So several things come up when you're saying that, and I do want to make the distinction between failing and not engaging in something, right? So I don't know that I would put not practicing the piano in the same category as failing necessarily.
True.
Although I totally hear where you're coming from, and it's an interesting correlation, right? Because as you were saying that, what I was thinking is if the kid really loves music and when he has a motivation for doing it, he's going to figure it out. And I know lots of kids who have learned to play the guitar at 16 and gotten into music at 20 when they had a motivation, when they were self-motivated to do it. So that's just sort of a separate topic around ADD management, which is the motivation's got to be internal for it to really be effective long term. So I may have digressed a little bit. Sorry.
But it's okay. You're just making a distinction. So piano might not be the best example, but this idea of perseverance is a hard one for us and yet essential.
It's so essential. And, you know, when you look at research on resilience and research on delayed gratification, you know, we know that kids who are able to delay gratification, who are, you know, that classic story of the kids with the marshmallow, the chocolate chip cookie, and if they could wait to eat it, you know, you've heard that story 1,000 times, but it really is indicative of long-term success. And so that to stick with something even when it's hard, to be able to try something that's hard, is one of those sort of life skills that we really want to teach our skills, our kids. And, you know, I was thinking as you were asking the question, David Gwerk, the founder of ADD Coach Academy, talks about the concept, the way that our school system in the U.S. is designed is based on what he calls the performance paradigm. And I just think it's a great, great language that he gives to it. And the idea is that what we have this tendency to do is to focus in on where our kids have problems and to keep pounding and pounding and pounding it until they get to a level of average, right? Take a kid who doesn't have, who really, really struggles with math, and we're going to keep them in from recess, and we're going to give them extra tutoring, and we're going to just make sure that kid gets to maybe average at math, right? Which means we forget the fact that this kid is amazing at art or music or drawing or writing. And instead of focusing on their strengths and really playing to their strengths, we have this tendency to want to bring them up to an equal level with everybody else in all areas. And actually, because you spoke to mastery, if we could really pay attention to what their natural gifts and proclivities are, what they tend to do well at or love or are inspired by, that's where they can achieve mastery. And if we can allow them, so here's the key. If we as parents can allow our kids to become masters at what their natural mastery would be, what they're really good at, instead of trying to force them to master something that may not be a natural tendency for them, that's when they will really thrive.
Absolutely.
Because that's when they're playing in their genius, right? And I know I learned that the really hard way with my oldest kid, who is absolutely masterful as an actor. But I spent a lot of years trying to make sure she was an excellent student before I finally realized that school was not her thing.
Right.
And well, it wasn't that I wanted to give up on school by any stretch, but that forcing her to focus on that to the exclusion of what she loved, I was actually preventing her to be successful at anything.
But you figured it out, and we know you
I
would,
did.
And that's part of what makes you a great coach. We're going to have to take a break here, but I think all of this is so rich. I want to, when we come back, we're talking about this performance paradigm, and Elaine has highlighted some great things. First of all, as all of you know, I am crazy about the marshmallow experiment and this idea of delayed gratification and what it says, and then also this performance paradigm and the fact that kids really need to excel and be allowed to excel at their natural gifts. When we come back, I do want to get a little bit into this idea of natural consequences and parents, you know, having the ability to let go and sort of wait for, you know, the child to learn from these mistakes and that whole thing, which is very, very hard. Before we go to commercial, I just want to remind everybody to go to impactadhd.com. There's a great free ebook there. Elaine Taylor Klaus has absolutely wonderful tools. And also, Elaine is going to be launching September 21st to the 25th a back to school survival week. And it has some great stuff. And I know that everyone I know is already complaining about back to school. So,
yep.
ImpactADHD.com. We will go to a break and we will be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. We, on this edition of Attention Talk Radio, we are here in the studio with Elaine Taylor-Klaus, and we were just talking about something really interesting, which is this idea that kids need to follow their passion. But, you know, Elaine and I hear a lot from parents that, you know, I have to shield them, or that it's so painful to allow a child to sort of follow these natural consequences and learn. And Elaine has highlighted so beautifully what is the benefit of this learning pattern, and that we learn so much and become more resilient and have more perseverance. But Elaine, you must hear parents say, so you're asking me to sit back and let this happen?
Mm. Yeah, that's a great observation. I do hear a lot. And there are a couple of responses to that. Depends on, obviously, the age of the child and all of that. But my first response would generally be something like, would you rather them learn now or when they're out of the house? You know, and most of the time we know that we would rather them learn and fail and have us there to pick up the pieces than have it happen when they hit the wall in college or beyond. So, you know, the earlier they learn to fail and resolve or, you know, and become resilient from there to fail forward, the better it will serve them long term. Having said that, as parents, part of the challenge, the dance of our job with complex kids, is to balance between scaffolding and enabling, or supporting and enabling. And the way that I like to describe it is that if you can imagine an old building that's under renovation, a beautiful old building that's under renovation, and so it's covered in scaffolding, our job as parents is to help renovate this old building that is our child. And so we want to work with our child to identify one area of focus where we can, you know, clean the building in that section first, take down one section of scaffolding, and work with our child to become more and more independent in that one area while we continue to hold the scaffolding around the rest of the building. And once that child has mastered that or gotten some success in a particular area, then we can pull down another piece of scaffolding. So the idea here is that we want our kids to know what they're working on and what they're trying to take responsibility or independence for, and to know that we've got their back. We're going to sort of continue to scaffold the rest while they learn to work on getting up in the morning or making sure they brush their teeth every day or getting their homework started or whatever the challenge is for that family and for that child. And so that they're not failing in every area. They are learning to succeed and fail and succeed and fail in one area until they sort of get it. And then once you agree with that, then you can move on to the next one. Does that sort of make sense as a metaphor?
I love that metaphor. So what you're saying is we're not suggesting that you step back and go off and let everything fall apart, because I think that's what a lot of parents think of when they hear this. You're suggesting that, you know, for a college student, maybe you remove yourself from one area. For a high school student, you know, maybe you stop, you know, inserting yourself in a specified area that is sort of
agreed upon.
Right.
Exactly. And that's the key piece. So, you know, and hopefully by college you've backed off on a lot of areas.
Hopefully,
right. But the idea is that you're working together as a team. So there's the sense that I've got this, and I'm here for you, and my job is to help come more independent. So let's figure out what you're going to do. So, you know, a really good example of this is my oldest child. When she first left home, she was still 18, she was still in high school, actually. And so we sort of struck a deal that her job was to make sure she was eating and taking her vitamins and meds and whatever she was on. And I was managing her schedule from 3,000 miles away. I was managing her finances. I was managing a lot of other pieces, all of her travel, anything like that. And it was a lot to do from here, but it was all she could do at first to make sure that she was eating three meals a day and making sure that she was taking care of her health and making sure she was going to sleep. And that was huge. And if I could help her learn to manage that, then when she was ready to take on the next thing, you know, I'll never forget, I was almost in tears the day she finally started putting something on a calendar by herself.
Right? It's a cathartic moment, I agree.
It was. But it took her, she wasn't ready to do that at first. And if I had asked her to do absolutely everything, that would not have been failing forward. That would have just been flat-out failure.
Right.
But by scaffolding the way that I did and having those very clear, open conversations with her about this is what I got and this is what you got, she was able to learn a process. And let's be serious, 18, 20, 21 years old, these kids are not particularly great at taking care of themselves. Any kids aren't particularly great at taking care of themselves. So that's a lot to manage.
Right.
There've been, you know, sometimes she moves forward and sometimes she slips back. But we want to make sure that we're setting them up for some success and that the natural consequences aren't disastrous, right? And the other thing I wanted to say is that we do a lot of work with our community and with our clients on what we call taking aim. So we have a model that we teach parents. It's called the Parenting Action Model, and it's how to tackle any challenging situation. There's this sort of five-step process. And it always starts with taking aim. And I think that's the hardest thing for parents to do, and the most important step to take is to get really clear on what am I focusing on? What is the change we're trying to see? And to get very specific about it, because when you're clear on the change, then you can sort of see what the outcome is supposed to look like. But if you say, mornings are crazy in my house, I just got to make mornings better, that's really hard to do something about. But if you
right.
get very specific and you say, okay, it's time, I'm ready for this child to learn, he's 17 years old, I'm ready for him to learn to wake himself up in the morning. That's specific and that you can tackle. And then he can see some success. He's going to see a little failure at first, you know, and then maybe even be late to school or whatever, and then he'll begin to see what does work, find the solutions and the successes, and have some progress with it. But you got to really take aim and be very specific about the challenge you're trying to achieve.
So I love all this because this is exactly what I always say. I always say, you know, have you ever tried to change everything about yourself? It's absolutely impossible.
It's impossible.
And the scaffolding analogy, I love. It is impossible. And so I think that this is a great example. And so just let me reiterate. So you're suggesting that we – you know, look at an area, we get really specific about it. We avoid saying things like make the morning better or, you know, have better behavior because the kid isn't going to know and you're not going to know. And you're suggesting you really pick one area like them waking themselves up and that allows also I would think a playing field for success.
And that you
scaffold the rest still, right? And that you just focus on this one little, not little, but big frontier. And that sounds great. We're going to have to go to a break, but before we go, I just wanted to say, you know, I think that this is so good. When we come back, though, you know, you've taught us how to scaffold this, how to pick the behaviors. Let's talk a little bit, if we could, about what the parent can do to help themselves as they watch sometimes, you know, that the kid is going to be late or that the train wreck is coming. Because it's really hard as a parent and as a coach, I know. Before we go to the break, I just want to remind everyone, check out ImpactADHD.com. There's a free ebook. It's a really insightful website. There are some of Elaine's great Huffington Post articles, probably all of them, actually. And Elaine Taylor Klaus is with us today. She has, from September 21st to the 25th, a back-to-school survival week. And a lot of her different programs and opportunities and tools are on ImpactADHD.com. So you can go there and check it out. We're going to go to a commercial, and when we come back, we're going to talk about preparing ourselves for this journey. Thank you.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here in our virtual studio with Elaine Taylor Klaus of Impact ADHD, and we were talking about a great image that Elaine painted for us on how to allow your child or young adult to explore one area of independence while scaffolding the rest. And she had this great image of an old building under renovation. You don't just let the whole thing fall down. But Elaine, what I asked you before the break was, you know, I think that this is absolutely the way to go. I always tell people, little consequences, big people, big consequences.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have to say that I have my own little ADHD daughter, and even though I've been doing this for 12 years, it's hard to watch,
yeah,
right?
It is.
And it's hard to do. And you may know that it's the best thing. You know, some people would probably argue with us as the best thing, but I think you've made a great case for it. What can parents do to help themselves, especially if they've been shielders, if they've been people who sort of are snowplows and they plow all obstacles out of the way, and now they realize this isn't working? What can they do to prepare themselves or manage this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and it's a bigger answer than I wish it were as simple as just do these three things and everything will be fine. But the truth is the two things that come to mind. One is stay calm at all costs, right? And I think that's probably the fundamental principle of good parenting is stay calm at all costs. And so that if you end up losing it and becoming hysterical, everybody isn't taking it for granted. You're not crying wolf, right? If you're losing it, there's got to be a good reason, and they're going to really pay attention. But really staying calm is the most key elements to effective parenting. And it's hard to do when you are afraid. And so the other thing that comes to mind is to get the support you need to manage your anxiety around it, your fear around it, your concerns for your child's future, your concerns that your child may not be able to be independent, your concern. I mean, the stories you and I hear from parents all the time is, you know, either I'm afraid that my child's going to end up on my couch in 20 years, or I'm afraid my child's going to end up in jail in 20 years. Either way, those things are both pretty concerning, right? But I hear a lot from parents that I just want to help my kid reach their effectiveness, be as successful as they can be. And so sometimes to do that, we have to, there's a concept in coaching where we want to let go of the attachment to the outcome, to that end result, and embrace the process, right? And instead of being so worried about where the kid's going to be 20 years from now, let's just worry about where she's going to be next week. And if she's a little better next week than she is today, that's the progress we're looking for. And we're looking for progress, not perfection. And we're looking for constant, continuous growth, knowing that a couple times she'll have a few setbacks and then you take a few steps forward because they are human, right?
Right.
We give them permission to be human. But you know, there's a great – I'm not a huge fan of a lot of traditional parenting books because I think that they have a tendency to set up parents with special needs kids to feel like we're failing. So
right.
I'm very cautious when I and there are very few traditional parenting experts that I really, really love. But there's a classic book called The Blessings of a Skinned Knee. And it's just an absolutely beautiful book by Winnie Mogul. I feel like I'm going to get that wrong, but I think that's right.
You're right.
And it's just a beautiful book about how sometimes you need to let the kids skin their knee. And that is a hard thing to do, and this is for all kids, not just our kids. And it's harder in some ways for our kids because we see what's fabulous about them. We see what's possible for them, and it's so hard when other people don't see what we see. You know, I used to say to my kids all the time, you guys are going to be amazing adults. I just got to get you there. We just got to get you there, you know, because they really – our kids are designed to be adults. They really, because adults get to be specialists, and kids have to be generalists, and our kids are specialist brains, not generalist brains. So if we can sort of be in the process with them and try not to fear too far forward. So it's not just failing forward, but we as parents tend to fear forward.
Right.
Right. And so if we can sort of stay closer to, if I can work on tomorrow and next week instead of next year or 10 years from now, then I can see more successes and I cannot be so freaked out about where they're going to be. But when I start worrying at age 12 that they're not going to be able to manage an apartment at 24, I'm going to be hysterical and that's what I'm going to bring to my kids.
Absolutely. Elaine, that was so well put. I'm going to recap that. The fear forward, and we all do this as parents, all of us,
yep.
But I've seen it a lot over the years that we, instead of worrying about what's going to happen in middle school, we worry about whether they're going to be able to have a successful business, marriage, life, you know,
yeah.
Adulthood. And I get where it comes from. I really do. But I think there are some blessings in the skinned knee. Thank you so much for giving us this insight. And I really love the image of this scaffolding of the old building and that we really can allow kids to create some independence and some skinned knees in one area while holding up the rest.
And I think the other really important piece to that, Caroline, is to get the support to do it. As parents, this is hard stuff. And don't do it alone. Don't feel like you're supposed to know how to do it, whether it's a friend who gets it or a support group or a coaching group or online, whatever it is. Don't try to do it alone because, you know, you need that resolve. You need someone else to say, no, you're doing it. It's okay. You can handle this.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. I think it's a great thing to have a circle of support,
mm-hmm.
and it can be, you know, anybody in your community. It can be a friend, it can be coaching, it can be a therapist, but someone who gets it and who helps you to remember that it's, you know, one missed bus, not necessarily ending up in prison. So I think that this is absolutely invaluable. I hope that people listening have really benefited from this. Thank you so much, Elaine, for being on with us, and thanks to everyone for listening to this edition of Attention Talk Radio.